Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
In my business, there is only one place, and that's to be a winner.
Wash your hands, wash your butt, man. That's it.
Well, I felt like SpongeBob for a minute, right?
They said, hey, Dad, let's make a TikTok.
You know, there's times where you make plays that are special. And there's some times where you're like, that's pretty fucking good.
Hey, what up? It's Mercedes Lewis here, a.k.a. Big Dog.
Big Dog, Big Dog, Big Dog.
And you're listening to Poor Man's Package Podcast. Go, Pack, go.
Right, man, I'm so excited. Let's roll. Let's roll.
There's a lot of guys' futures that are, you know, uncertain, myself included.
Guys, the MVP of this league. He is the heart and soul of our football team. So, hell yeah. He better be back here.
Just want to know where you feel things stand with Aaron and you and with the organization.
Yeah, listen, Jason, I think I understand your question. I'm not really sure exactly where you're coming from. But what I will say is, like, you know, we're really excited about Aaron Rodgers and his future with the Green Bay Packers. We think, you know, he's going to be our quarterback for the foreseeable future.
There's no way in heck that Aaron is not going to be on the Packers. You know, we're not idiots.
To me, a reality, not a certainty or an absolute, is that my future is not in my hands.
My future is really, a lot of it's out of my control. You know, that's why I mentioned, you know, using words like, a phrase like beautiful mystery, like, because it is quite uncertain.
Aaron Rodgers has told certain members of the organization that he does not want to return to the Green Bay Packers.
All I can do is play my best, and I feel like last year I did do that, and may have thrown a wrench into some timelines that may have been thought about or desired.
Hello and welcome to a very special edition of the Poor Man's Packers Podcast, the number one Packers podcast in the state of our minds. I'm Spencer Sismanowicz, joined as always with Kyle Turkowski. Kyle.
Hello, friends.
And guess what, guys? The Green Bay Packers were somehow able to fuck up something great once again. Welcome to Rodgers Watch, Favre Watch 2.0.
I was but a boy when the first time this all went down with Favre. And even then, I still didn't like it. You know, the 1 foot in, 1 foot out, retirement, not retirement, mm-hmm. We're moving on from him. Didn't like that. But now that I'm a fully grown adult man, I hate it. Hate it even more. Like, how do you mess this up twice?
It's a lot of fun. Well, we'll absolutely twice. Get into that this episode. There's one person who's been involved very, very deeply both times over the last 15 years that it's been. But man, what an
who has experience with this situation?
Hey, maybe he'll learn. You know, he's got 5 more years left on his job for sure, but we'll get into that. What a fun offseason. You know, the last episode we had, we thought this was behind us. However, it is not. We'll get into it more. But Kyle, I mean, we don't have to get all gloomy yet. How was your offseason?
It was okay. It was only okay.
Cool.
Nothing more, nothing less. I took a long time before listening to the NFC Championship episode, and I'm glad I did. You know, the wound healed a little bit, and I think the first like 7 to 10 minutes really captured my pain. I was worried it was going to come off a little too much, but no, I think my pain was distilled in those 7 to 10 minutes. But other than that, yeah, not too much football related because of said wound.
Mm-hmm.
Still healing. It's like 2014 at this point, where it's just one of those that I'm just never going to get over. Any sort of highlight that pops up on any sort of show, I'm going to look the other way. I'm going to close my eyes, turn the channel. It's something that's going to be a hole in me forever.
We're in that weird situation now where it's like, what? You know, we're in the transition period where the pain of the loss is almost, you know, it's dwindling because we have the whole Rodgers
right.
saga like, going on it, right
you
now.
Almost forget about that pain because, yeah, now it's like a whole new pain of like a legendary quarterback wanting out. And it's just not fun to be a Packer fan over the last 5 months.
I looked at it too because, you know, just talking about the Rodgers thing is one thing. But then looking back at the last four off seasons we've had are firing Ted Thompson, firing Mike McCarthy, drafting Jordan Love, now we have the Rodgers saga. So it's been a fun offseason.
Media circus. Yeah,
the beat reporters in Green Bay haven't had vacation.
I mean this offseason though is like the granddaddy of them all.
Yeah.
Like this is the big one where every local and national person involved in media is licking their chops at all this drama.
Mostly the national media because they have something to talk about. The local guys are like, God, again, I would just want to golf this offseason. That's all I want. But hey, at least on the positive side, we seem to be on the back side of COVID. So hey, we're
all right.
Looking up. Hey, hopefully we'll have some open stadiums. Did you sign up, I assume, a full go for the gold package this year?
Tickets are purchased. We got the, oh my God, beauty of a lineup this year. The Pittsburgh Steelers and the Rams.
Ooh, that shit.
That is a great gold package. I haven't seen the Steelers in person yet. I obviously saw the Rams last year in the playoffs, which was a great game. But I've never seen the Steelers. So, and that's just a great football game.
Yeah.
Like a uniform matchup, the history, the franchises, just a perfect football game.
If there's a mirrored franchise in the AFC, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yes, absolutely.
But yeah, we'll keep flowing along here. We don't have, we have a lot to talk about, but the things we have to talk about, that's all we'll talk about this episode. We'll start off with the Rodgers saga, and then I guess, you know, there was an NFL draft that occurred as well.
Wait, Spence, how was, that's so rude of me, how was your offseason?
It was all right. A week ago, I finally cut my hair after 15 months.
Yeah, I said he was looking, and he was looking like Joe Dirt, which, I mean,
well,
neither negative or positive. It's just kind of, you know, Joe Dirt appeals to certain people, and
yeah, it was a mullet. That's for sure. It's funny too because I back in like middle school, my hair was pretty long, and it was like the same time AJ Hawk grew his hair out, and then now I cut my hair, and I'm like, fucking Rodgers is growing his out, and now mine's gone.
Yeah,
what's
you
going on
with the bun? Ooh, that could have been a look for you,
dude. I put a bun in once, and I was like, no.
When though?
Yeah, it was weeks ago, but it's still. It's
oh,
like,
weeks. Okay, I thought it was gonna be like when you were an insecure boy.
Oh God, no! With the hair thinning up front and pulling it back, not as good of a look as you would
all
think.
Right, if you insist.
But let's get into it. I've been reading way too much into the Rodgers saga. I'm sure some people might be sick of it at this point.
Yeah, none at all. I've been trying to just
separate. To start things off, how did it go when so the Rodgers news breaks, Adam Schefter, and during the offseason, even before it happened, I kept texting you. I'm like, hey, this Rodgers, like people were getting pissed that the media were making up stories. But I'm like, no, dude, there's something going on with this restructuring not happening. And as soon as I texted you like Rodgers, you were like, don't say it, because you weren't going to admit that I was right, that it was a big deal.
It was That was a tough day. It couldn't have been worse timing because I'm in a group chat with like eight other Vikings fans, and I'm one of like two or three Packers fans. And literally that day, like leading, because you know it's draft day and everyone's buzzing and excited.
Peak excitement
that
for everyone.
That day they were talking shit about, oh, Rodgers is gonna leave, like it's gonna happen. And I just kept saying it's not gonna happen this year. Like, yes, there's a circus coming, but it's not gonna be till at least next offseason. There's no way. Literally 2 hours later, the news drops. I look like the biggest idiot. My phone was blowing up. I legitimately, like, the news dropped, I was shell-shocked. And then I don't think I spoke out loud for the next 7 hours. Like, from 2 p.m. to 9 p.m., I was just silent. I didn't answer any phone calls, nothing. I was just distraught.
It was one of those, you see the initial Adam Schefter tweet, and you're like, no,
because it's Schefter. Like
it's a fake one. It's like, okay, oh, damn, there's a blue check mark. Okay, let's click on the profile. Fuck. Okay, it looks to be him. Let's scroll. Yep, it's him. Go back. Okay, god damn it. Okay, this is actually happening.
Yep. And it was it was a very dark time where it was like, okay, it's happening. Like I said, my stance from the beginning was, okay, as soon as Jordan Love is drafted, like, okay, Rodgers is unfortunately probably not going to retire a Packer. Like, that was a reality that was starting to sink in. But I was so convinced there was three even. I was confident with at least 3 years left.
So we'll get into it. We'll go over the timeline overall briefly, and then we'll break down, I think, the three main people that are causing this saga to occur. But what you're saying there, the way I look at it, it's like, you know, you got a case of little Debbie's at home. And, you know, maybe you're coming home from the bars and you're like, you know, you have one more left. And then you go grab the box, look in, and someone else swiped that last
Swiss
cake roll.
It's just like you were so convinced it was there. You knew, waiting for you.
You knew it was coming, that eventually it would be gone, right? But you weren't prepared for it when you looked inside that box.
That's a pretty decent analogy.
So starting things off, this is the complete timeline. I think some things are missed along the way, but this is a basic outline of this Rodgers saga. Back in 2018, when negotiations began for Rodgers' current deal, Rodgers publicly referred to hit the contract and looking forward as a partnership, not just a contract. This is also around the same time when Mike McCarthy let Alex Van Pelt, the QB coach, walk.
Do you have the exact quote of this partnership or what it's?
It was
like
it was
the exact
part
context of it.
So it was part of the Yahoo article done by I forgot the guy's name, but he put out the Yahoo article as well recently about the Goody Rodgers not wanting to return unless Goody is gone. And that guy's a pretty reputable guy
that
as well.
Seems, I mean, and that part...
We'll get to that. We'll get to that. So Alex Van Pelt left. That really pissed Rodgers off. One thing that Rodgers has said on record several times is how he likes having a QB coach who played quarterback, and he can kind of bounce ideas off of. The guy that they hired sucked. He's out of the league. And obviously that was a big reason why Rodgers' mood was so bad in 2018, because he had to work with this guy in 2018 that didn't seem to really want to coach as much as Rodgers wanted to be coached.
Sure.
So eventually they did agree on a deal, but even after that happened, and this was reported by Rob Domofsky, that Rodgers wanted a more NBA-style type contract where the cap hits were a percentage, not just a set number going into it. Quote, and this is what Rodgers said, "I don't think the NFL is ready for those types of contracts. There's language that needs to change for those not just a set number when the contract is signed." And that's what Rodgers said. Fast forward to 2020, the Packers lose the NFC Championship game to the Niners, and the team is looking forward to improving that offseason to get over the hump. So not last year, but the year before. It appears even at that time that Rodgers was optimistic with the front office, even talking about how he was looking forward to see what Goody would do that offseason to improve the team.
This is the going into the Jordan Love offseason?
This is going into the draft, yeah. So, and what appears to me, so draft night 2020, Rodgers is on the Pat McAfee show, and they're asking him, you know, just some general questions about what he's looking forward to, and he's saying, hey, you know, it's rumored that maybe we'll take a wide receiver, and he even talks about the LSU kid.
Pain.
Looking forward to that. So, whatever. He said they were targeting receivers. Rodgers got pissed after they drafted Jordan Love, but obviously went on to have an MVP season. But for the NFC Championship game this year, however, the Packers came to Rodgers and offered a restructure. So it was before the NFC Championship game even happened. But the Packers going to lose that game. Rodgers has his odd final presser, and then things only seem to get worse. From what I can tell, negotiations began before the game. Rodgers got pissed because even, they always have that conversation, even on his last show on McAfee. They're like, oh, are you going to talk to the guys, the front office? And Rodgers says, yeah, we'll have conversations. We have conversations every year. In that meeting, it seems that the Packers held firm that they just wanted to rework the money that he's already owed and did not want an extension. Eventually, the Packers did come around to offer an extension, but Rodgers was so pissed off at that point that he said, nope, I'm done, trade me. And that is currently where we sit. So we'll start things off here with, we'll go from least amount of guilt in this to the most amount of guilt in my eyes. Aaron Rodgers. So something that has been overlooked in this whole process is his broken collarbone in 2013. He broke it again in 2017, played hurt in 2018, and in 2019, he wasn't exactly Aaron Rodgers. So, we kind of live in this sphere where we're just looking at the last year for the most part, where Rodgers was on fire, but his play has kind of gone down. He did go down slightly, but mostly he's getting older and he has had a lot of injuries.
Then he started squatting.
Yeah, then he started squatting and stopped drinking milk and all that type of stuff. The other big thing with Aaron Rodgers here is that he's still owed $38 million in dead cap. No matter what, he's going to get that $38 million unless he retires, which host is not Jeopardy. Going to happen. Yeah, or host Jeopardy. People have said, people are like, okay, they could trade him and they'll have cap relief because $15 million would come off the cap this year. But I'm like, that's still $16 million you're paying to not have Aaron Rodgers be the quarterback.
And that would be next year, right?
It would, yes. It would, instead of just having the hit be this year, it would be this year and next year if you trade him, which no, thank you. The other big thing is the Kumerow thing that has popped up. Of course, after the initial report,
that was blown way out of proportion. Maybe it was the camel that broke the straw's back, so to speak.
Yep.
But I mean, really,
fans are just looking at that. There's been the little reports that come out every few days, wanting Goody, he's not coming back unless Goody's gone, the Kumerow thing. But overlooked in this is the coaching staff also didn't want Kumerow to be cut, and they didn't know that he was going to be cut.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Exactly. And that's what you lose in this narrative. Jason Wilde has reported this multiple times, and LaFleur wanted Kumerow, and the team wanted him because he was a reliable part of the offense. He wanted a more reliable part of the offense as opposed to a special teams guy like Malik Taylor or EQ, who didn't perform very well.
And it's been mentioned before that 2-point drop in the NFC Championship. I think it's safe to say I'm not, this Kumerow fanboy, and
yeah,
I was
you were
fine with EQ.
Very even keel.
I was
on
very
Kumerow.
Fine with EQ over Kumerow, but yeah, I think Kumerow comes down with that. That's for sure.
Yep. And going on, which we've mentioned before, the whole Rodgers won't come back unless Goody is fired. Now, reading the article and the reports around that, it's so stupid, and Wilde tried to talk about this on Twitter too, but it can't get through to people's minds. Rodgers never said Goody has to go for him to come back. It's just the circumstance is so vile right now where people don't see him coming back unless he gets fired.
Yeah, I have a hard time believing that was Aaron Rodgers' stance at any point of where it's either him or me, like with Goody. I don't know. That seems a little extreme for me.
It's not so much it's him leaving, yes, but he's not demanding that because he knows that won't happen. But it's like, if he just disappeared, Rodgers would probably be like, okay, hey, cool. Hopefully not Russ Ball filling in, but whoever we get, hey, I'll come back.
Well, yeah, because then it's just same regime. Like, I mean, it's still Mark Murphy at the top that is probably the real kind of root of this entire problem.
Yes, exactly. And the last thing with Rodgers, the biggest one is, so we know that he's mad. We know that he's pissed off. And this has been the last 3 weeks and why a lot of fans have turned on him is if we offered you that extension that you originally wanted, then what? Why are we still doing this right now?
It's just a, well, I mean, and people have said this, it's like Rodgers is the all-time chip on my shoulder athlete.
Yeah.
I mean, it started from the day he literally entered the league. And well, in the day he played college ball, like, he wasn't a heavy recruit. He fell in the draft when he became a high prospect in college. And yeah, he's just used that, you know, everyone's against me, I feel slighted mentality to, you know, be one of the, well, in my opinion, the best quarterback of all time. So it's like, it's not too far-fetched to think, oh, now you're backtracking after a restructure to, and just trying to mend fences with the extension after, you know, you've already disrespected me. And yeah, he could, I mean, who's to say he's not using that as a slight?
It's gotten to the point now where I'm starting to think, like, what's more legendary with Aaron Rodgers, his play on the football field or his level of grudginess?
His pettiness, his calculation in pettiness. Yeah.
So we'll see going forward. He is set, we're recording on Monday, he is set to be on SportsCenter tonight with Kenny Mayne.
Monday, May 24th, and the big news is he hasn't showed up to OTAs, which, I mean, like, and people kind of want to discount that he, you know, he's newly married and he's enjoying, yeah, but at the same time, he's been to every single OTAs of his career. Like, that is, I mean, that's no coincidence.
He does kind of look out, so we'll get to it eventually, but we'll see what happens with Rodgers. But with the OTAs, and nothing's really came out yet, we'll know by the time this is out, but he's not going to be the only one not reporting. The whole COVID thing and the Players Association, shout out J.C. Treader, the former Packer, who's now the head of the NFLPA.
Hey.
And even seeing today, like, MVS is training somewhere else. He is not in Green Bay today. He posted that on Instagram. So I think there's, especially like a guy like that who is on his rookie deal, so he has no incentive to get the workout bonuses. He doesn't have to show up, and I think there's going to be multiple players. So if Rodgers eventually comes back, he'll be like, oh, I got married, and I didn't, you know, I've been to a million of these. I didn't want to come to OTAs.
Right, plus, what's a $500,000 workout bonus to Rodgers at this point?
Yeah, like, nothing.
And plus, the other thing, too, is, like, with, I don't know, I'm sure this has a factor in it, but, like, the Juwan James stuff with the Broncos tackle, who tore his ACL away from the facility.
Oh,
and he was,
yeah,
due like $10 million. So if he would have got hurt, like, he had $10 million guaranteed if he would have just been a healthy body when he showed up to camp or whatever. I don't know the exact contract workings, but basically, yeah, if he shows up healthy, $10 million. But since he tore it away from the facility, if he would have tore it at the facility, he still would have been due that $10 million. But since it was away from this facility, they cut him $0 to him. So I wonder if, like, I don't know, the situation with all the OTAs around the league has anything to do with that.
Yeah. I'm not sure if David Bakhtiari is going to show up. He's still rehabbing, obviously, but we'll have a better picture, you know, after a couple days here, because they're going to have to practice.
I did see Kenny and Z showed up.
So yeah, because they have the two of the three biggest workout bonuses for the team.
Yeah.
It's like $750,000 for Za'Darius. So moving on to the next part of this painful triangle, Brian Gutekunst. So obviously, I think a lot, we all played some type of mental gymnastics with the Jordan Love pick last year.
Yeah.
Because we knew something was coming, but it did seem a little too early. You know, but Brian was looking to protect the franchise. You know, every one of his predecessors, Ron Wolf, went a weird way to acquire Brett Favre.
Round pick for a third string quarterback.
Yep. Ted Thompson took Rodgers when he was slipping, and they had Brett Favre, and now Brian Gutekunst kind of went out of his way to take a quarterback
and,
as well.
Yeah, I mean, he traded up for it. That's something that...
Exactly, which I kind of pushed to the side before, but when Rodgers has actually said it now, it's like, okay, I guess it is part of a thing there.
Yeah.
So that's fine. You know, it's, and we've said it before, I'll say it again, it's not so much drafting Jordan Love, it's what you do before and what you do after. And we'll get into that more here. So just looking at Brian's body of work at quarterback prospects, who are the two quarterback prospects who, in their first year out of the draft, linked to Brian Gutekunst? Do you remember who these guys were?
His very first year?
His his the first, you know, these 3 years now, there's been two quarterbacks that he's been kind of tied to that he had interest in, and one of them he did actually acquire and played for the Packers.
Kizer?
Yep. So Kizer was one. There was the big rumor when Ted was still GM, quotes there. But Kizer was very highly valued in the Packers organization. The other is Denver's
Drew Lock.
Drew Lock.
Yeah, that's right.
So one thing, it's okay to maybe look forward to the future, but when you look at the two major prospects that he has valued, it's DeShone Kizer and Scott.
Yeah.
And neither of them.
Yeah.
I mean, Kizer's out of the league right now, and the other guy.
Yeah, just to, I guess, from
Drew Lock. I keep saying Scott.
Yeah, I noticed that. I don't know why.
Correct me. Please correct me.
My fault. but what I have seen smart NFL people say is that with Kizer, I mean, it was super unfair to him and his NFL career. Like, he got thrown in there as a rookie when he had no business being on the field.
Led the league in picks.
And like, yeah, like you just, you know, it's a thing where you learn bad habits and, you know, how can you, it's probably got to be so, like, you're probably just so rattled. Your development is just shattered. Like, and I'm, you know, I'm thinking that's what happened with Kizer. And I mean, similar to Drew Lock, like he didn't start week one, I believe. I think he was it Case Keenum? I think he over
his rookie year.
Keenum probably got hurt like week three or four. So yeah, he had no time to really develop. But yeah, now it's kind of like Jordan Love has had a year in the system. Yeah, he hasn't played a live snap, even a preseason yet. But like, you know, he knows the NFL routine and the playbook. And as long as he's able to read defenses, I don't know. I think he can be better than both of those guys. But we have zero clue. Zero.
Right. And we will have to see. It sucks because of COVID offseason last year, too. Like, he's more far behind than most rookies would be anyways.
Mm-hmm.
But part of that, too, is Jason Wilde has reported that the coaching staff they're not confident in Mr. Jordan Love.
What's like the context of that report? Like,
because
he couldn't beat out Tim Boyle. Like, again, we never even saw him play in the preseason.
There's that, but then there's reading between the lines. So I listen to Wilde and Tausch every once in a while in the morning, and Wilde's a guy who he's not going to report something unless it's 100% concrete. He knows it as a fact, or, you know, he's not. And plus, he's one of the big Green Bay guys. He doesn't want to cause a stir that's going to, you know, bubble all their shit up too.
Sure.
So on his radio show, he hasn't wrote about this, but on his radio show, like Tauscher, who he does the show with, pressed him pretty hard. Well, what does the coaching staff think of Jordan Love? And like, there's a big sign. Wilde's like, I don't think they have much confidence in him. Be it's 1 year, but Wilde also said that there, like Rodgers, you'd get those wow throws, and he said there was like two times last year where Love made a throw, and he was like, wow, what a great play. So we'll see going forward. You know, we see the offseason.
I mean, is Wilde at practice? Is he?
Yes.
Every practice?
That's open to the media. During the season, they're allowed to practice for the first 20 minutes, and then they have to leave.
Does he get, like, interview access with coaches?
He texts Goody. He texts a bunch of different guys that work for the team. Like, he's reached out that way, I would assume, to see what's going on with Jordan Love. But anyways, moving on to that. Another thing to look at with Goody is Rodgers.
Skeptical.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Another thing looking at in the past with like Brett Favre and stuff is moving on. This was different. Rodgers said he wanted to play until 40, but Goody seemingly didn't care based off his age and injuries. One could argue Goody still not wanting to admit defeat with the Jordan Love pick. You know, after the season, he wanted to restructure. This is a scenario you have to kind of look through is, let's say, you know, early on in the season, Rodgers has a season-ending injury. Okay, obviously don't want that to happen. Obviously, we do want him starting for us next year.
Mm-hmm.
But what if that happens and then Jordan Love comes in and he does light the world on fire? In that scenario, you're probably trading Aaron Rodgers after the season and moving on with Jordan Love. That's what I think Goody was trying to do. He was trying to hedge his bet because he can, knowing how the contract is structured with Rodgers, hey, oh, we don't know, but you'll play for us this year, and then we'll see after that. And Rodgers said, okay, well, fuck you. Yeah. I don't care. I'm the MVP of the league.
Yeah, like I want some security.
Exactly. And, you know, I kind of, you can understand each perspective a little bit there, because that was Goody's, the one thing Goody's going to be known for is the Jordan Love pick, and he didn't want to cut bait that soon this offseason.
Yep.
And as mentioned previously, communication has been an issue. Didn't talk to Rodgers about taking Love, cutting Jordy, signing Jimmy, cutting Kumaro, which is fair. I think some of that stuff you can is fair to talk about, but Rodgers probably felt like an idiot talking on NFL Network the day before.
Right. Got cut. I mean, yeah, the timing was very, very disrespectful.
And I'm trying to remember too, because I don't remember if it was roster cut down.
Or yeah, was there some sort of implication where if they didn't do it that day, like
that? Now that I think of it too, it was roster cut downs, because Kumaro was cut at the very end, and it was 2 days before. So some could look at it that it was a power move from Rodgers publicly saying, "Hey, I love Kumaro. If he gets cut, I'm going to be pissed." He got cut.
Yeah,
and he got pissed. Something to think about. Not the best thing, but something to think about.
Oh, if just Jake Kumaro is the Jenga block that just
I know
it makes this whole thing crash and burn.
It's hilarious. Well, one of the Jenga blocks for Favre was when they sent him his locker that summer in the off season. He was like, "Oh, they really want me to stay retired, huh? They're sending me my old locker so that I will stay retired and I can't
the old locker. What do you mean?
They literally cut Brett Favre's locker out
of
Lambeau Field and sent it to him in Kiln, Mississippi.
I mean, that's the I don't understand that at all.
It was
very cumbersome. Yeah. Like that seems like a bit much.
It would be very odd to receive that too, like not knowing it was coming. Oh, hey, you got a package from us. Like, what is it?
It's just like a
your locker. I'm still thinking about maybe coming back. Yeah. But and one more thing with that too, people could say whatever they want about informing Rodgers of these decisions, and maybe it's because of what's happened now with Rodgers, but look at how the Bears treated taking Justin Fields. They let Andy Dalton know ahead of time that they were drafting
Fields. Come on. Like,
just saying.
But, I mean, Andy Dalton went there knowing he was going to be the starter, so even then, like, telling him ahead of time, what the hell does that make Andy Dalton feel any better? Like, he's still in that scenario of he's not going to be the starter when he was told otherwise.
True.
Like, and that's kind of like I get it. I get that, yeah, communication should have been made to Rodgers and being like, "Hey, you know, we really like this kid from Utah State. You know, if he's there, we're going to try and trade up and get a receiver. You know, we really like the LSU kid. But if he's there, you know, he's the guy on our board. We're going to have to take him."
And
like, okay. And they take, so what does that communication, like, yes, I mean, I guess it's a sign of respect and whatever, but at the same time, like, we're still here. We're like, Rodgers' quote-unquote replacement is still there on the roster. Like,
yeah, exactly. But it is the communicating can smooth these things over so much more. If they call Rodgers ahead of time, they're like, "Hey, it's just because, you know, you're old and your bones
coming
have
off a
broke
bum,
in
bum
the
leg,
yeah. My knee," but. If there was some form of communication, I think we'd be better off right now. And
I'm not saying, yeah, like, complete blunder to not communicate with Rodgers at all. Complete fuck up. But at the same time, like, we're still here in this awkward position today, regardless. Yeah.
And what I would say, what I believe happened is there was a plan A and a plan B in the 2020 draft. Plan A was take the receiver that fell, either Justin Jefferson or Ayuk, who got drafted by the Niners.
Even then, like, I just remember, and I've seen that Ayuk was actually the guy they were going for at 26.
Yeah.
But, like, Jefferson, that was never in the realm of possibility to me.
Not
like,
really.
That was my draft crush, but I only have a draft crush on people who are impossible to get, like Devin White.
Exactly.
The
if he fell past the Vikings, maybe we would have moved up to draft him. But anyways, I think the receiver was plan A, and I think they did communicate plan A to Aaron, but they did not communicate plan B to
Aaron. Which feels weird. Like,
which was moving up to take Jordan Love, and they also didn't tell Matt LaFleur that they were going to move up to take Jordan
now
Love.
Now, that to me just seems... inexcusable is not even a word that does it just. There's it's so I'm stumbling words. It's I can't even
are you,
piece them together.
Are you
it's
red
so
with hate? Or can you feel it on your spine? Because that's what happens with me.
My blood is running hot. like the head coach of your football team, the guy who's going to be responsible for molding this young individual, has like no idea what, like, that is so laughably inexcusable to me. I can't even laugh about it.
So some might say that within the organization currently, there are silos of communication.
Yeah,
that there's
a joke.
Communication isn't happening. So for the last part of this whole saga, we're going to talk about Mark Murphy, and we're going to bring back a segment. Hey, we're stealing your content. I was obviously invited on to Willie and Tausch to talk about this. I wasn't a weirdo calling into a radio station to just vent about Mark Murphy. So here's that clip when, you know, Jason, Willie, and I were just shooting the shit.
Let's talk to Spencer in Minnesota. Spencer, good morning. Welcome to Willie and Tausch. What do you got for us?
Mark Murphy. I, through all this, it feels like he's the guy who's getting off completely scotch-free compared to, obviously, all the fire Gutekunst and Trade Rogers talking. I just don't think this guy should still be the president of the Green Bay Packers.
Because?
Well, it's, so obviously this bubbled up again, but even over the last 5 years when he's had to make decisions one way or another, he just messes it up. I mean, for starters, he wasn't the first pick to be the president, right? That was John Jones way back in the day.
True. Yep, true.
Then I love Ted Thompson. He allowed Ted to remain as GM when he was going through his health issues, and that obviously didn't seem to be the best plan of action.
True.
After that, he bungled the Mike McCarthy firing. All he had to do was wait, 12 more hours to fire him in the morning, but instead it turned into a whole awkward sending off type deal.
Good point.
And then maybe you could argue, more of the business side is what his strength is. But as far as I can tell, the whole Titletown district and all of that has been an Ed Policy thing, who seems to be the guy who's going to replace Mark Murphy in 5 years. And then at the same time, he's kept preaching getting the NFL draft in Green Bay, and that hasn't happened. And that's
true.
And that doesn't even include when he's spoken in public the last 3 years. I mean, he had the silos of communication, which obviously we've been talking about over the last week. He had the "we're not idiots" just a couple months ago. And then even during the head coaching search, he said that the other coaching candidates weren't prepared, and that obviously miffed some guys in the league. And that's not even talking about what happened over this past week with all these lines of communication obviously not being connected. I mean, we've talked about the Kumaro thing enough, but even the coaches, like you've said, weren't very happy that it happened. And on top of that, something that's been overlooked is last week, Jay Glazer reported, I haven't heard anyone else really talk about this, that even Matt LaFleur didn't know that the Packers were trading up to take Jordan Love. I don't know how a guy who was here in 2008 and let the Brett Favre thing happen somehow allowed this to happen again, even when he was claiming that him, Gutekunst, and LaFleur were meeting like every week to go over this. On top of this, with the triangle structure that they're talking about, where it's Russ Ball, Brian Gutekunst, and Matt LaFleur, I mean, just looking at that on the outside, who's going to have more pull in that situation? The two guys who work together and have been part of the organization for the last 20 years, or the head coach, who is a first-time head coach, and he's only been doing it for 2 years. So I just, if it were up to me, obviously the board isn't going to do anything, but I don't know what Mark Murphy does well.
Take a bow. Take a bow. Oh, my God. Preach. Woo! So, to me, the of all the things he said, which was, that was a fantastic call, Spencer. Thanks. To me, the biggest thing is that you made a big federal production about how you were going to break down all the silos. And here we sit. And it appears, I said this earlier in the week, the silos are all still there.
So did you take your bow?
No, I don't think I did in my apartment. No,
that was a very, very well organized and well thought out rant. And I love how they just let you go.
Yeah, like the end of the back end of quarantine, still kind of like locked up, and I'm like just thinking like, fuck, man, why Mark Murphy did this? Oh, and he did this. Yeah. And I'm like, what has he done? And I'm like, well, the Titletown District. I'm like, wait a minute, he's not even the real guy behind that.
Yeah, the amount of times you said, and on top of that, it was just a mountain of receipts.
So I will say this, I do know what Mark Murphy is good at, and that is, no joke, hiring people, because he did hire Brian Gutekunst, he did hire Matt LaFleur one way or another, and he did hire Ed Policy, who is doing all his actual president work.
Sure. Yeah.
And that guy's going to be the president in 5 years. So Mark Murphy is 65 years old. When you turn 70, you're pretty much cut off.
That's a requirement.
It's a requirement because without having an owner, they set an age limit. And when you get to that, you're done. So the only thing that could happen is if the board moved on from Mark Murphy, but that would be a shocking development. I could not see that happening with the success of the franchise, both on the field and off it. But Jesus Christ, I mean, dude, all you got to do is pick up the phone and tell Brian to talk to Rogers a little bit more and the coach more.
Yeah, going back to your rant, like, you're absolutely right, and it's still true to this day of, like, no one's really talking about it. Like, why is Mark Murphy getting none of this flack? Like, he should be getting the most of it. It's as simple as having legitimate, real-life experience on such a unique...
Yes.
And delicate and just very bizarre and uncomfortable and just, quite frankly, shitty situation. Mm-hmm. Like, he has real life experience about the impact of it on the fans, on the organization, on the players, and yet still just monumentally blunders again.
And it's crazy too, because obviously he lived through the Favre saga in 2008, but the reason that the communication breakdown, you know, this new structuring where everyone reports to Mark Murphy instead of just the GM as it was previously when the Packers have been amazing. This is the structure we had back in the 70s and 80s when we were dog shit. And for him to take the bull by the horns and say, we need to communicate better because of the Ted Thompson, Mike McCarthy thing, not even the Favre thing. Like, there's multiple instances where you should have learned from this and you said you were going to bring everyone together. And you quite honestly did the exact opposite. It's like, what do you do, man?
Yeah.
Because he even said last year they were meeting every week talking about stuff. But obviously, Matt LaFleur seems to be the odd guy out. He doesn't make the personnel decisions. But my God, you'd think you'd lean Kumerow over EQ or something.
Or yeah, you'd want his input. To just not even notify him of the move is just completely... completely inexcusable.
Yeah, I hope I can't wait to hear him talk again, because he'll get absolutely roasted, I hope, from the media. But I'm also waiting. I'm hoping for like a Tom Silverstein hit piece to come out questioning Mark Murphy and the job he's done. Because
really get that seat warmed up.
Tom's the guy who, so, you know, you're coming around now where you're starting to like Tom, because he just kind of says it as he is and reports the stuff even if you don't like it. Because even when we moved on from Ted and we were looking for the new GM, he was the guy who said that the front runner right now is Russ Ball. And a lot of people have questions if Russ Ball should be the next GM because he has no scouting history.
Right. I mean, he's just the finance guy.
Exactly.
Why can't we just him at that role?
Thank God Tom wrote that, because if he didn't write that, who knows who the GM of the Packers would be, because there was public backlash when just that idea was spinning around.
This is going to be the guy?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So we'll see. You know, hopefully going forward, things will even out, but to end the Rodgers talk for this episode,
what
do you think is going to happen, and what do you want to have happen?
I think, and I don't want to think beyond this, that Rodgers plays for the Packers this year. I think that's it. And like I said, I don't want to think beyond it. I have no clue. They brought everyone back. Like,
yeah.
This is another kind of minor detail in the whole situation of just like, I kind of feel bad for Aaron Jones. Like, I feel like he took a lot less money than he could have gotten on the free market, because, I mean, he was under the implication it was, you know, run it back. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's just a kind of a side tangent. I feel bad for him. But what I want to happen, I got no idea.
You're right.
I don't even know. There's just, I mean, ideally, Rodgers plays in green and gold until he's 40, a couple MVPs, a couple more Super Bowls, and then they just hand the baton to Jay Love, and then you continue it. Now, is that going to happen? Not a chance.
Yeah.
But that is the ideal scenario, and that's what I want, but I'm also not a moron, and I know that's like under, at this point, not possible at all.
Yeah.
0% chance.
I'm pretty similar in that. What I think is going to happen is Rodgers is going to come back. He's going to half-ass pretend that he doesn't know what everyone was talking about with all this. He was like, yeah, we had our differences, but it wasn't nearly as bad as what the media made it out to be. Something like that. I think that's what's going to
happen. Yeah, and
he'll come back and play this year.
And then you think it's...
I honest to God think the Broncos are just going to be the rebound for like two of the best quarterbacks of all time. Where we'll trade him to Denver, see what happens, and then it's going to be the J Love, and we'll probably draft another quarterback too in that time, or acquire another one. That's what I think is going to happen, which I don't want to have happen, because what I would do is, you know, whatever the minimum is that Rodgers would want for years guaranteed right now, I give him that. 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, probably not five.
He probably wants four.
Yeah, three or four, it's like we can get away with that. Go from there, because honest to God, I'd rather, and we've talked about this, I'd rather have, you know, a shitty year with Rodgers and move on with that, and maybe a second shitty year of like a rebuild, than to see him go on and win a Super Bowl for another team. If he goes on to another team and wins a Super Bowl, and we have Jordan Love and say he's an average quarterback,
that will be the laughingstock of the league.
Exactly, and it would be absolutely
like will be an absolute joke.
Yeah,
we'll be the butt of every joke for the next decade.
And
it'll be
for sure
devastating.
And I can't believe how many fans actively want to trade Aaron Rodgers. It's even guys
that is
like
so bizarre to me.
It was shocking the day after to see Andy Herman say we need to trade Aaron Rodgers. It's
literally the day after.
It's
like yeah, as disheveled and messed up as I was, like 16 hours later, be like, yep, sorry, time to ship him. Like, what, dude?
Hey, could we first understand why he wants to get traded fully?
Relax a little bit.
It's absolutely terrible. I think what's going to happen, Rodgers is going to tweet, like he's going to get some restructure. Maybe he does get an extension, and then he's going to tweet, relax.
Oh.
Honest to God, I think that's what's going to happen. So
goosebumps.
Let's hope.
Again, my stance from the minute Jordan Love was drafted was like, okay, you hear that? There's a circus coming. Mm-hmm. It's going to come. There's going to be a media frenzy where it's just going to be nonstop Rodgers clickbait articles. I knew it was coming, but I thought, okay, we have at least two. Like two, you couldn't convince me otherwise.
Yeah.
And I thought even three for Charles. Like there's 3 years, like kind of same deal with Rodgers. Like he sat for 3 years,
yep,
whatever. But I was just blindsided that the circus was here this offseason. Like the circus is here and it's sold out.
Yeah. The circus is here and the last Swiss cake roll is gone.
Mm.
That's what it is. All right. One more thing, Kyle, I guess on the Rodgers talk, just to lighten the mood a little bit. Everyone's hurting for information on this. Any little snippet we could get, people are trying to read between the lines. So I'm going to read some Packers players tweets that have happened. And let's see, and this was all the week after the Rodgers stuff happened. Let's see if we can read between the lines and see if these are subtweets.
Mm.
This is from MVS. You can't do the same thing and expect different results.
Mm. That's the definition of insanity, isn't it?
Exactly. So maybe he's saying... Well,
which one's insane?
Is
Packers or Rodgers?
Exactly. Is it Rodgers who's losing the championship games, or is it the Packers for sticking with them?
Whoa.
Who knows?
I mean, MVS was the best player on that field.
People forget that.
Mm.
Here's another one. Someone who wasn't the best player on the field, I guess. Davante Adams. Hey. Gotta appreciate what you got while you got it.
Oh, that one blew up.
That one
that
did
made
blow
me,
up.
That made me very uncomfortable.
Yeah, Rodgers
did
like
not
that
like
one
that
too.
At all.
Yeah.
Did not like that.
Yeah, that one's a little scary because there could be some other meanings there with him being in.
Well, yeah, and obviously everyone saw the soundbite of, he would have to think twice about signing here again if Rodgers wasn't here.
Right, and I mean, I didn't take much away from that because it's
to me it's kind of obvious, yeah, where it's like if Rodgers here, Tay is probably not going to be either, which is something I hadn't even realized was backlash until a few days after the Rodgers news, and then it just, you know, sunk me deeper.
So we'll see. Hopefully
tough
something
times,
works
man.
Out there, too.
Tough times.
Yep. This is from Alan Lazard. don't be afraid to ask for what you want.
Mm.
Ooh, maybe you're talking about Aaron there?
God, these all seem like these are pro Rodgers, which I understand. Obviously, players are going to be looking out for the players.
Yep. And this is one more, the last one. This is from former Packers wide receiver Geronimo Allison. I wonder if Iowa females got that drip, drop, wet, wet. And I won't say that last word, but I think you know what it is. Kyle, what do you think about that? That one's from 2012.
Yeah, I will say the Iowa females do have the drip.
That's your comment on that? Okay, very cool.
I'm reading between the lines. Well, I'm just reading the lines, yeah. And I'm affirming, yes.
Hello, American football fans. Are you trying to score more clients? Well, now it is time to kick off a new email campaign. At B2B Data Guy, we pass your message to qualified receivers. We'd love to sit down and talk to you about how we can field your goals. We make sure your emails aren't intercepted by spam filters. Your emails won't get flagged for unnecessary sending. There's no market we can't tackle. We've never punted on a customer. We think we're a pretty fair catch. There's no way we won't insert football pun. With our message to the right audience, it's easy to touch down with qualified leads.
Visit b2bdataguy.com today.
All right, moving on to the NFL draft that did happen. And hey, the Packers, honestly, honest to God, this is probably one of my favorite draft classes. Last year, not as much.
Wow.
This one, it's weird because
we love judging a draft class before they have a snap. Love
yeah,
that.
But okay, we'll you know get me. Into it. But it's exciting. So we'll start things off. Packers stayed put in the first round, 29 overall. They took Eric Stokes, the cornerback out of Georgia, who will wear number 21, a pretty famous number for the Green Bay Packers, ooh. Mr. Charles Woodson.
And in classic Packers fashion, this is not a bad thing. I've said it multiple times on this podcast. I don't participate in the draft analysis, the mock drafts, the, ooh, I love this guy at this position, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, there's obviously guys that you're familiar with and, yeah. like, you see are projected to land. But Eric Stokes, never heard of him before in my life until Roger Goodell said it that night. And again, not a bad thing. If anything, this means it's a slam dunk because of same thing with Kenny Clark.
Yeah, exactly. Every year going into the draft, I'm less and less involved like in my own brain because I'm like, you never do know. And
you just, especially with the Packers front office, you just don't.
This was a little surprising too because a lot of people had corner as a high need for the Packers, but his name didn't pop up as much. But looking at his qualifications, he ran a 4.3 40. He's fast but not quick. His shuttle times weren't that great. He's 4¾ inches tall, and his RAS score.
He's 4 inches tall, huh?
Is that what I said? I'm so bad at reading and talking. This man tall. Is 4 inches tall. We'll see. You know,
It kind of lacks size.
People doubted Darius Shepherd, and oh wait, nope, that's a really bad example, actually. But no, he's very athletic. His RAS score was 9.37, which is very athletic, which is what the Packers look for. He's not a ball hawk, only had 4 INTs in college, but he also
wasn't targeted.
He wasn't targeted a lot, which we'll see what that means going into the pros. Is it actually because he was a shutdown guy, or maybe they just happened to not throw at him that much?
He was tasked with, you know, the Jalen Waddles, the Devontae Smiths.
Those
are just Bama, but yeah, those are real deal receivers.
True, he did play against actual competition. Also, in his introductory press conference, they asked, you know, what do you want to tell fans? What do you want them to know about your play? And he got all excited. He was like, I want them to know that I'm a dog. Like, I'm gonna get in there. And I'm like, that's not the Kevin King half-ass shoulder tackle stuff.
Hey, I guess, come on now.
Yeah, we'll see, but that does get you a little excited. He feels like the exact opposite of Josh Jackson, where Josh Jackson in college,
kind of slow,
tall, slow, but he's quick, and he did make a lot of plays on the ball.
Yeah.
Stokes, not so much, but he's a very fast player. We'll see. Maybe his ball skills will move up a little bit, and he can be more of a Sam Shields type, where he's really fast, can make plays like that. But
yeah, this is why I love the draft, because it takes me about 15 to 20 seconds to talk myself into a draft pick.
Yeah, even
like
Jordan Love.
Like, I'll see. Well, that one took about one or 2 minutes. but I see like the Eric Stokes, and like I see a tweet of like a Notes app screenshot of like Eric Stokes scouting report, and it was just a bunch of bullet points about him. It was like 12 bullet points. I'm like, yep, I'm sold. I love this guy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And then another stupid, very, very stupid. I'm aware this is very stupid.
This is stupid?
A PFF thing where it was just like, of all the corners in the draft, the highest probability of becoming a Pro Bowler or an All-Pro was Eric Stokes. Yeah, it's stupid as hell. It's very dumb. But it was like, of all the corners in the draft, like he was
my
the highest,
eyebrow
highest percentage of, yeah, making the Pro Bowl.
Someone just needs to give Pro Football Focus a franchise, and they can draft the best players. Yes. Remember how A.J. Dillon wasn't even ranked last year going into whatever. But
now
we'll
he's out here crushing watermelons, his thighs.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's honestly, I can't even
understand
that.
For those who didn't see
A.J.
Dillon on his TikTok, God, I'm feeling, I'm older. Get this, I'm getting older and older every year. But when he releases a TikTok breaking a watermelon with his thighs, it's like, okay, this is, what world are we living in now with players
cool
posting that?
Now.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. Josh Myers, taken in the second round, 62 overall, the center out of Ohio State, who will wear number 71, which he wore at Ohio State, same as the player he's replacing, Corey Linsley, who went to Ohio State and wore that number. Big dude for a center, especially. He's 6'5", which is massive. That's like a tackle
size.
Yeah,
holy shit.
He can play center, or he can play guard as well. He didn't test in the spring because of a turf toe injury, but he was one of the highest-rated centers in the draft. He only allowed 6 sacks on 755 passing snaps. Like I said, he will replace Linsley. A lot of people thought, you know, tackle was a bigger need in this draft, but I think drafting of Myers just shows you how important of a piece Elton Jenkins is and how great it was that we drafted him when he did, because I really think this means Elton's going to be the long-term solution at right tackle, and Myers is going to be the center going forward. But kind of, you know, a fun, not fun, but it's once again a meat and vegetables type draft.
Yes,
pick.
Very necessary. And I think the Packers have a great track record of drafting O-linemen, especially early. So I always love a meat and potatoes
draft. As much as we look under a microscope for receivers we have taken or have not taken, the offensive linemen, it's like we always overlook that when we've been one of the best over the last decade, at last 2 decades in drafting offensive linemen. I will say this, though. They had the rookie minicamp last week, and seeing those little clips and pictures, he's got, you know, you look at him and he's got a big build, but he's got skinny legs for a big guy.
He is 6'5", though.
Right, but the calves were just a little skinnier. So,
well, like, I see,
if I'm picking one player to bust, it's him.
I don't think that's fair for you to say, because I'm 6'4",
absolutely,
it is not. And my legs will always be skinny. Like, no matter what I do, even if I squat 700 pounds, which I'm at 655 now, but they'll never be fat. And it's just, I don't think that's fair for you to, you know, ridicule me and Josh Myers for our skinny legs.
Yeah, why don't you have as thick of calves as Jake, your older brother?
Because I'm 6'4". Oh, I'm stretched out.
Okay.
I got long bones. God.
Okay, that's fine. But we'll see. But just looking forward, if he doesn't end up that great, I'm going to blame the skinny
legs. That's fair.
Now, the most exciting draft pick in this draft.
Yes.
Mr. Amari Rodgers.
Oh my God.
Packers traded up in the third round. They took him 85th overall, wide receiver out of Clemson. He will wear number 8.
Yes.
Which will be a fun little thing to get used to
new
going
rule.
Forward.
And it was very funny to see Tom Brady bitch about it. I mean, my God.
That is weird. I wonder what Rodgers feels about it too, because I could see that being one of his like pre-snap things, very easily being able to pick guys out. So,
but yeah, I am sky high on Amari Rodgers. Comes from a winning culture.
Yep.
Was used all over the place, and seems just like a heaven sent for this offense in terms of gadget play, because we've had as much as we wanted Swervin Irvin to happen.
Yeah, he was
and
for
as
a hot
much
minute.
As we wanted Tavon Austin to happen, they're just nowhere near the prospect that Amari, well, I guess as a prospect Tavon was, but that's,
I got you.
I'm losing myself, but as a prospect, yeah, Amari just seems like this is perfect.
He should be fun. Like you said last year when we took DeGuara, how he is kind of that moving piece, H-back type, who can play tight end, fullback, whatever, and can move them all over. Amari seems to be like he'll be that, but the replacement for, like we said, Irvin, Austin, even late in the year, you know, we didn't, the jet sweep stuff kind of left.
Right, because like they just weren't reliable or wasn't very productive.
Yeah, it was like MVS who can run fast and he's not going to go between. Yeah. He's not going to cut up field.
Right.
Try to get tackled like that.
I mean, yeah, how many games was Irvin active last year? Like four?
Yeah, I don't remember. It was like four not or six. Much. I think he tried to push coming back and then he hurt his foot. I think he broke his foot and then went on the IR. We just took Tavon. But yeah, Amari, not a big guy. 5'9 and a half, 212 pounds. Out of character pick for the Packers who do not draft wide receivers. It was kind of a Ron Wolf rule that he had in place where you don't take guys under 5'10, I believe. Randall Cobb is the only other short receiver
we've taken. I think that worked out pretty well.
Yeah, people could say that. He was a pretty good guy. But Amari should be fun. Hopefully he's a little more durable as well for a shorter guy, but he's built like a fucking running back.
I saw something that he got over an ACL tear in like 6 months. Yeah, what kind of shit is that?
It was 173 days.
What the, like, that's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully the way modern medicine is progressing, hopefully you can just like, you know, put a needle in your knee and then like put a synthetic ACL there and it, you know, you only miss three plays.
hopefully that's what David Bakhtiari has, something along those lines. Yes. He'll be good to go this season. But yeah, the other interesting thing talking about Cobb, Amari Rogers' dad is T. Martin, the former Tennessee quarterback, was the backup to Peyton Manning back in the day. But he was a coach. He was Randall Cobb's coach back in college. He's actually right now the wide receiver coach for the Baltimore Ravens.
Oh.
But
uncanny connection there.
Very, very odd. After Amari got drafted, he even said that he looks at Randall Cobb as a brother and that they talk all the time.
Beautiful.
So it seems like the most clear cut, like, hey, Aaron, come back. We have, obviously everyone's made the joke, oh, hey, we got an A. Rodgers now. But this is like a cool little slot piece where we can put that in the offense.
So excited. Like, Matt LaFleur's just got to be so pumped about this. And it just feels like it's going to be one of those mid-round home run wide receiver picks for the Packers. I know you said it's not like a typical in terms of size, but in terms of placement of where he was drafted, yeah, I just think it's just going to be another home run.
Yeah, we haven't had, I can't think of any, like the worst guy we've, like the highest drafted receiver who busted out for us over the last decade is like
Jamon Moore.
That's pretty much it.
Fourth round, I think.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, because prior to that, geez, like who?
God, yeah.
Like Yancey in the sixth or seventh.
It was like Janice and Charles Johnson and guys like that. So who cares? Yeah, we'll see. He's going to be good.
Jamon Moore, how did they?
He's out of the league. Yeah, he's so bad now too. And he was the highest drafted one out of the three of them. Yeah. But also on top of it, special teams player, punt returner, kick returner.
Yes. Oh, that'll be goodness.
Especially punt returner. It seems like he'll be, you know, he's kind of shifty.
Get some security back there finally.
That'll be nice. So we'll forget about swerving very quickly, unfortunately. Last thing, too, is he worked out with Stokes this offseason. They're good buddies, too. It's crazy how many connections there were with this draft class. Moving on to the fourth round, 142nd overall. This was the compensatory pick we got for Blake Martinez.
Free pick.
Royce Newman, the offensive lineman out of Ole Miss. He'll wear number 70, TJ Lang's old number. 6'5", 310. He played tackle mostly, but he's a versatile piece. He's played pretty much everywhere on the offensive line as well. He had a 97.8 blocking efficiency over the 4 years playing for Ole Miss, and he has a mullet, which is pretty cool. He should be a fun player to watch going forward. But once again, like you said, a creative, flexible piece for the offensive line.
Yeah. Yes. I'm excited. I don't have much input.
Yeah. We'll have to wait and see.
I'm not super good at evaluating them.
Yeah, exactly. You regurgitate what other people say.
Correct.
Oh, and he's tall and thick. Yeah. That's
very nice.
Moving on to the fifth round, 173 overall, TJ Slayton, defensive tackle out of Florida. He'll wear number 93, which was worn by the legend Eric Walden. Slayton is 6'4", 330 pounds, not a high RAS score. He only started 1 year for Florida. Not a pass rush guy, more of a run stuffer, which we've been begging for years on the defensive line. Yep. Hopefully he's the Snacks Harrison that will actually get to play for the Packers. He's very raw, but very powerful. It'll be intriguing to see what Jerry Montgomery does with him. As we've talked in the past, Last year's been a little iffy. Kiki's been hurt, but Jerry Montgomery is one of the better positional coaches on this team. So to get him a raw piece of clay like this, hopefully we'll have an actual tandem of, you know, Kenny, Kiki, and...
Yeah, super interesting tidbit on Slayton that I didn't seem to see a lot of coverage of is that he was recruited out of high school as a offensive lineman. He was like a very highly touted prospect. And I believe he signed with the Gators as an O-lineman. But then, yeah, that's why he's only been a one-year starter is because he switched, you know, either early or late in his college career. And then there was like a very brief, I can't remember who it was, maybe it was someone on the Packers beat or someone that writes about the Packers that said this could be a possibility of like they're actually drafting him as like a offensive guard or something. But that Christ. Was very brief. It was after I read the initial like stuff on that, I hadn't seen anything on it since. But I just thought that was really interesting.
I feel like we're deepest at offensive line.
Really?
For as far as talent goes, when you just look at the last 2 years, because we did, you know, with Runyon and Jake Hansen and Jason Stepanak, who we'll have to see how those three turn out. Runyon looks like a pretty good guard. But with these three draft picks now, too, in this draft class, we've spent a lot of draft capital on these offensive linemen now with Elton, and you look at David Bakhtiari being one of the best in the league. It'll be very interesting to see going forward what that turns out, because I mean, I don't think we need to pick up any more linemen going forward. Like,
we'll just go
like
look.
Saying that, Slayton, we don't have to convert them because we have too many as it
I
is.
I mean, just look at, it's as simple as just look at the past, not even the past five, probably just every Super Bowl winner ever. Like, there are no terrible offensive lines that win Super Bowls.
Exactly. Just look at this past year's Super Bowl with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Makes me sick.
Talk about versatility, too. I didn't say this. Royce Newman, the offensive lineman we took in the fourth, he was like a quarterback in high school. He's literally played every single position on offense. I think he played receiver too.
What?
He showed up, I believe, at Ole Miss, or if he went to a school before that, as a tight end.
Wow.
And then they were like, hey, you want to play offensive line? And that's where he's stuck since
Athlete.
Then.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Moving on to the fifth round, 178th overall. This is the Brian Bulaga compensatory pick. Shamir Jean Charles, cornerback, Appalachian State. Shamar Jean Charles, cornerback, Appalachian State. Number 22 he will wear. That was Pat Lee's old number, the legend, who is a very bad player for the Packers. Solid college player, 5'10". Jeez, I'm really good at the numbers. 184 pounds. His 40 was 8.51.
8.51.
4.51. I can't do multiple things.
Eight and a half. You could run an 8.5 40. Actually, I'm not so sure.
He tripped, got up, tripped again, and kept going. Different than the other corners we've taken recently, where he broke up 17 passes as a senior, which led all of college football last year. So he is a ball hawk as opposed to the other guys we've taken. He should compete with Holman for that last corner spot. We'll see. People
they
are
just saying, released a corner today.
Yeah, some practice squad guy who it wasn't even the guy that they talked up during training camp, a special teamer. Mm. So we'll see. Just another camp body. Hopefully he'll push Holman and Sullivan, who's back as well.
Yeah.
After that,
more corner depth is always good, and it kind of. That's what's the beauty about Twitter. I didn't see a lot of people like have an issue with the Eric Stokes pick. I mean you saw people, oh, first round receiver, whatever, but like and even if you did, I don't know why you'd have an issue with that pick at all. Like, cornerback play costs a trip to the Super Bowl. It is very much simple.
It's crazy how that narrative has shifted. How last year with Jordan Love, it was, why didn't you take a wide receiver? And then we're in the NFC Championship game. We lose. Kevin King plays terribly. And Packer fans were saying, oh, we could have used that Jordan Love pick for a corner, which we weren't talking about at that time.
Yep.
And then this year, the first round pick, we take Stokes. Packer fans mostly are happy that we take a corner. And then the national media is like, oh my God, they still aren't helping Aaron Rodgers out. It's so hard to like keep a straight, you know, if you're actually paying attention, to keep a even keel here. But everything's just so fucking out of whack.
Yeah, need your engagement.
Exactly. Moving on, the 214th pick, Cole Van Lannen, the offensive lineman out of Wisconsin.
Hell yeah.
He'll wear number 78. He was a Packer fan growing up. Apparently, when he got the call, he was 15 minutes away from Lambeau.
Oh.
Yeah. Another thick boy, Wisconsin Rays, 6'4", 305. He's pretty quick for an offensive lineman. He was all Big Ten the last 2 years at tackle. He can play tackle or guard. He, like I said, grew up in Green Bay, and apparently when he got the call, it showed up as a spam call. A lot of people have talked about that, but it was actually Goody, which is weird. How does that algorithm work if Goody's popping up as a spam call?
Right.
Especially if it's the same zip code. Why is that happening?
Yeah, that's bad. That's a bad algorithm.
Yeah, and if you want to feel old, he said his favorite players growing up to watch were Favre, Rogers, and David Bakhtiari. He's even said that he watches every snap Bakhtiari plays just to try to learn from that, and that was before he got drafted.
Good. Now he shares a position room with him.
Yeah, so
love it.
We'll have to monitor that going forward, but every offensive lineman we took in this draft can play multiple positions, which is a pretty big stamp for Goody's draft picks now. Obviously, we did that in the past as well, but especially now with Elton leading the way and being a Pro Bowler while doing so, hopefully we can match that with one of these other guys as well.
Absolutely.
Moving on to probably my favorite, aside from Amari Rodgers, draft pick this year. In the sixth round, 220th overall, this was the Kyle Fackrell compensatory pick. Isaiah McDuffie. What a beautiful name. Inside linebacker, Boston College. He'll wear number 58. He, former teammate with AJ
Dillon. That's such
AJ
a
Dillon.
Sixth round pick name.
McDuffie, I love that.
Isaiah McDuffie, that doesn't get more drafted in the sixth round than that.
If he gets a second contract, like, I'm going to get a McDuffie jersey just because it's such a ridiculous name. But yeah, 6'1", 227, ran his 40, 4.58, so not much slower than the corner that we took in the fifth round, Gene Charles. Very instinctual player. I don't know anything about football, so I watch football, but watching his tape, every time you watch his college highlights, it's like the opposite of Blake Martinez, where he's very instinctual and he knows where the play is going, what's going on, and he runs to the running back instead of, you know, catching him.
Yeah, that's very important. Quarterback of your defense is the inside backer, so anyone who can diagnose plays very quickly is going to stick around and play.
Which you need that type of leader there too, where Barnes was able to, Chris Barnes, right?
Yeah.
Oh god, I had to double check there because I kept saying Burns last for the longest time.
But then again,
sweeping up the cobwebs coming back to the podcast.
this ain't no ACC football, so it'll be a big test for him.
We'll see. I mean, you know, like I said, AJ Dillon, he had to practice with him for years, to meet him in the hole, so yeah. Hopefully he can continue that, and I don't know. I'm excited to see him. Hopefully we get some blurbs from him during training camp. The last pick of this draft class was Kylan Hill, the running back out of Mississippi State, 256th overall. He will wear number 32. Pass-catching running back, not an amazing athlete, ran his 40 in 4.52 seconds. I don't know, watching his tape, he looks like a receiver, kind of. He should be a fun guy to have on offense. Once again, maybe he'll be a jet sweep guy as well to have in the backfield. More than anything, I'm looking forward to seeing him possibly getting snaps when Dexter Williams hasn't been able to for the last 3 years.
Yeah. I don't know much about him, but more depth is always good when you lose a solid back like Jamal Williams. And with all the injuries that position seems to deal with throughout the year anyways, the more depth, the better.
Absolutely. And with that, I mean, that's all we have for this draft class. We did have, there's a couple of intriguing guys we took. There is, what is his name? I deleted the notes. We took picked up an offensive lineman from Iowa named, Kronk. I think it's Kronk. What is it? It's either, that
sounds pretty good.
It's
a good
Cole Kronk, I believe. If he didn't get injured his last year, they said he would have been drafted pretty high. He always started for Iowa, pretty good player. They're saying if any of the undrafted guys stick, it's going to be him.
What was his injury?
Oh, God. There we go. See, now I deleted the notes. I do not remember what it was, but he was out for the majority of the year.
Oh, why'd you delete the notes?
I didn't try to, Kyle. We talked about it. It's what happens when you're an independent Packers podcast like this. You don't have a backup drive.
Production studio.
We don't have IT to dig that file back up. There's also there's a receiver out of San Jose State, James Jones' alma mater, that we picked up too. White guy, 5'11", don't remember his name, but he could also be a special teams. He's very good on punt and kick returns, very fast. So maybe he'll stick on if he shows up in training camp. And we also took a safety named, it starts with a U, another guy who they say can push. He's someone who is on the edge of getting drafted as well. So those three guys whose names I don't have on hand, remember those going forward.
Okay, got it.
Great little segment there. But with that, we will... Well, let's just keep rolling into it.
We're riffing.
Couple little tidbits here to close out the episode. A little overlooked thing here. Kyle, we have a new defensive coordinator.
Ooh, yeah, we hadn't even mentioned... Wow, what an absolute shitstorm of an offseason. I completely forgot that happened.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Do you remember his name?
Joe Barry.
So Joe Barry, our new defensive coordinator. It's funny how it took this long to actually bring up his name. Which is,
I can't stop thinking about Aaron Rodgers.
It's great for Joe Barry because now he's going to come in and have very low expectations just because we have forgotten that we have a new defensive coordinator. Now,
well, I wouldn't go that far, but
sure.
Like once we're in the swing of things of this season.
And we can start cursing and pointing at the TV and getting mad. Won't remember his name. A lot of people were, obviously, Leonard for Wisconsin. He decided to stay with the Badgers. A lot of people weren't happy with the Barry hiring. So the way I look at it is you're looking at two candidates. Okay, candidate A, he's been a defensive coordinator. Those teams ranked 32nd, 32nd, 17th, and 19th overall. How do you feel about that candidate?
Not great.
Yeah. Now, candidate B is someone who has worked very closely with Wade Phillips and Brandon Stokely. He's the old
Brandon
receiver.
Brandon Staley,
the now head coach for the Chargers, defensive coordinator for the Rams for the longest time, who worked under Vic Fangio in Chicago. What if I told you you're having a defensive coordinator who worked under that for the last, 7 years?
Well, I'd be just as skeptical.
Yeah, I would be excited because he's working under a young defensive mind, the Vic Fangio system, the Wade Phillips system as well, who's always been successful.
So who was candidate B?
Both of them are Barry.
Oh.
that's what I'm saying, where you can look at it negatively, you can look at it positively. Okay.
Yeah, well said. I did really want Jim Leonard, though. That would have been exciting.
It would have, yeah. But we would have forgotten blood. About that by now, too.
True.
Probably.
But I just, as long as Joe Barry looks excited to be there, I'll be happy.
Yeah.
As long as he looks like he cares about his job and wants to motivate the players on his defense by doing a little run. I mean, he doesn't need to be Robert Saleh, running onto the field, trying to headbutt, with a bald head. But, to some clapping and some rah run. Oh, it would be such a welcome sight, and I hope he's like that.
We need more raw Ron.
More passion.
He does seem to be a more energetic coach, too. There's clips of him even just in the rookie mini camp running plays and running around with the guys. So he'll probably be on the sideline as opposed to up in the
press box, sideline. That's my whole point.
Yeah. Well, Pettine was in the press box his first 2 years.
Yeah.
Just the first.
And he looked bored and uninterested.
But last year he was on the sideline at least.
And he still looked bored and uninterested.
Yeah, you're absolutely
sorry.
Not
wrong. I don't want to kick him while he's down.
We also did fire your favorite special teams coordinator, the Mucinex Germ. the best that I love that joke. Sean Slocum.
Sean Menenga.
He got canned. Our new guy, Maurice Drayton.
Drayton.
Slayton's the defensive tackle. Drayton is the special teams coach. He's worked pretty much in every facet of football as far as leagues go. He was in some minor football league team. He helped out for some Naval Academy, I believe, or one of the services. He's been a special teams coordinator. He helped out with the Colts back when Pat McAfee was there. Hopefully we'll see his press conference. He seemed very energetic, which is the opposite of the old Mucinex Germ.
Mm.
A little excited about that. It was very odd, too, how when they asked him about the failures of the special teams in Green Bay in the past, he referenced the quarterback play being a reason for that. For the special teams, how teams try to win in different ways. So especially on special teams, they try to game plan to find any type of wiggle room to have an upper hand when you're going up against a Rodgers or a Favre, which he didn't explicitly say that, but he did say that when you're so good on offense,
like they just put extra preparation in special teams.
Exactly. And the special teams might, you know, you might look the other way and try to improve that way. So I thought that was very odd.
That
but
is, yeah.
We'll see. We'll see going forward, but we said it with Sean Slocum and Ron Zook, but you
nowhere to go but up.
You can't be any worse. Right?
Nowhere to go but up.
We'll see. I had some other tidbits, but I deleted them, so we'll save it for a different episode. But
yeah,
I
guess the next one will probably be when this saga is wrapped up. Otherwise, I mean, we're just gonna get on here and I mean, honestly, like, there's probably like no new information that was gleaned. Like it's just the same garbage regurgitated over and over of like, oh, but this person is wrong, but also this person. It's like, so we just gotta wait and see. Like, that's why
the story's dying.
I'm still very pro Packers and I'm still very pro Rodgers. I'm reserving final judgment until, yeah, it plays out. But I mean, there is, again, I'm prefacing this, I'm reserving judgment on Rodgers, but I'm at the point now where it's like, yeah, I mean, what are you so pissed about? You know, like the Packers have made you the highest paid player multiple times throughout your career.
And apparently they want to do it again.
Number one offense, like, yeah. But again, I see why he's pissed off too, where, yeah, if he was offended with the restructure and the extension after the fact. And
it's,
but my tinfoil hat, and this is a take that's been taked already, but I don't know. It makes a little sense where, like, yeah, Rodgers was made such a fool during the draft last year that, yeah, maybe he's just playing a game right now where he's just making the Packers look absolutely stupid. I mean, you see these press clips of like, and we love him. We want him so bad. We want him back so bad. Like, he's the MVP. He's our guy. Like,
I feel so bad.
We want him for
Matt.
Years to come. And
poor
like,
Matt.
And they're just like begging, like pleading publicly. And yeah, maybe he's just like little Like, he's loving every second of it. I don't know. That makes the most sense to me.
I know. That's where I'm at too. He's just sitting back watching. You know, he's the girl in the meme with the fire going on in the background where he's like, ah, yes,
Let it burn.
Caused this. Yeah. So we'll see. We should have answers by the next time. Hopefully maybe even tonight with him being on Kenny Mayne, but I highly doubt that. But June 6th, I believe, is when he's required, quote unquote, to be at minicamp. That's only 3 days, and then after that he'd be able to wait until training camp, so who knows. We'll see.
Yeah, June 6th there'll be another blip in traffic, but then yeah, hopefully it's smooth sail until training camp.
We can only hope so. Like I said, I hope we get that relaxed tweet from him sometime in the next month, and then we can all go to bed happy.
Yes,
that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yes,
but with that, we'll put a nightcap on this episode as well. That's all we have, just the draft, just Rodgers, which is more than enough. But if you want, I'm not going to make my voice go super high, but hey, if you want to leave a review, I did it right there.
A little bit, little bit.
Just a little bit. If you want to leave a review, that'd be cool, or just a rating of 5 stars. Follow us on Twitter, whatever. We're still giving away that Mercedes Lewis jersey. If you just follow us, we'll see.
Yeah, we gained so much momentum with that, and then it kind of plateaued.
When you're begging for followers and they actually got to stick around until you get another 200, it's a slow roll.
Yeah, we haven't forgotten though. Plus, he's back for another year, so it's not like
2 years. He actually got a 2-year deal now too. This is here we go. Fun little tidbit. Super lame, but it's true. Mercedes Lewis has signed more contracts with the Green Bay Packers than Brett Favre. Yeah, he's signed a 1-year deal every single time.
1 year, yeah, but that's still funny.
Fun fact, yeah. So that's all I got. Leave a rating if you can, whatever. You can email us at pmppodcast@gmail.com, or I don't know, if you have anything to say, DM us on Twitter as well, pmppod there. But with that, Kyle, I don't have anything else. I do have this little news to add as well. There's been a crackdown of DMCAs on podcasts and using music. So we'll keep the intro until they crack down on that, but we're going to have to try to finagle our way around for outro music here. So I'm only going to use live performances of stuff.
Very savvy. Probably still not even, but I don't know.
It's stuff that I assume if you can't hold up the Shazam app and it registers, you're good.
Because that's
how they get you on YouTube and stuff. So that's what we're going to roll with here. So with that, Kyle, I do have more, but we just don't have enough time for that. So
yeah.
I have nothing else, Kyle. Just
be patient. Rodgers will be back.
I hope.
I'm hoping.
pray to God, or else I don't know how I'm going to
run it back. Packers. Run it back, win a Super Bowl, and then we'll just figure out the rest later.
Exactly. And with all the Jordan Love talk and some Denver talk as well, Bob Marley, please don't sue us.
Go, Pack, go. Is this